Strap yourself in,
because we're set up, switched on, and ready to go.
Yes, sir, reading you loud and clear. Clear. The clock has started.
Episode of our podcast. Today we are going to interview some of the greatest and most influential minds in our field. By sharing our collective expertise, we will show you how to harness, control, and use your own skill set to achieve ultimate success and live the life you want. And now, please welcome your host.
Welcome to this week's Smallest Cast podcast. This podcast is designed for small government contractors, service providers, and manufacturers as part of the government contractor ecosystem, connecting people, organizations, and resources. I'm your host, Just Nate, and this week we have Dennis DK. Welcome, Dennis.
Hey, thanks, Nate. There we go.
Oh, I got to turn your mic on.
No, you don't have to.
And you're going to hold your mic like that the whole time. Whoosh.
Yes.
Don't break it.
I don't want to be the middleman again.
Okay, Dennis, we have somebody next to you.
We do.
This is Peggy Ulmer.
Peggy.
Peggy is from Kelly Williams Partners. She's a broker associate. Yes. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
So, yeah, this is cool.
Mm-hmm.
So it is. We haven't had a realtor on the show yet.
Or a broker associate.
Or a broker associate.
Realtor.
Realtor.
Yeah. Realtor.
A realtor. Realtor. And she's one of the greatest and influential minds in our
in
time.
In her field.
In our time, period.
Yep. There you go. Yep.
Oh my goodness, I'm gonna blush.
So we're gonna. So we met up with Peggy because how did we meet Peggy? You did.
We met Peggy through a mutual friend
mm-hmm.
who okay. introduced us, and we started talking about, the market and the smalls, and you know how small government contractors as part of the ecosystem, not just small government contractors, but the government ecosystem, contracting ecosystem, is probably interested in real estate and what's going on in the market right now.
Well,
right?
Everyone's interested in the market right now.
That's right. Yeah. And so I thought, well, we should have her come on and talk about it a little bit. And then we got talking about a lot of other things. So, yeah.
So
yeah.
Lots of different offerings. Yes. Now, of course, offerings might have changed a little bit.
No.
Okay.
No, it's all good.
Okay. So,
well, it's been, so we know we have several of our coworkers that have like tried to buy and or sell recently, and you know, they're all getting outbid, and they're getting, it's a crazy market right now.
You have to be creative.
What's that?
Yeah.
What's your rule?
My rule of thumb, whenever I bought, which I haven't bought a lot, but I don't pay more than asking price.
Oh.
Good luck.
You ain't buying right
that's
now.
So why don't, so that tells me, are the realtors not helping price the houses appropriately?
Okay, so there's a strategy.
Demand.
Where
okay.
you can price it under market value, right, to get those multiple offers and drive up that, you know,
but that's price. That's kind of a California thing.
But even if you priced it at market value right now, there's still someone who's willing to pay over that because they want it so badly.
Well, because of the demand.
But not the bankers.
Right.
You're a first-time
right.
home buyer, just so right. you, everybody knows. If you're going after a $200,000 house and the bidding war started, now they're like $250,000, you're not getting that house unless you got $50,000
exactly.
cash.
You're going to need some money to cover that appraisal gap.
$200,000.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm are you talking gonna, first home buyers.
Where are you going to find a house for $200,000?
Okay, we're going to get started in this. once again, I tell everybody the same thing. Jen, producer Jen, I just had the conversation earlier. She said the same thing. Well, where am I going to find a house for that price? You don't have to live in downtown Springs or downtown Denver.
No, right. You can live in maybe outside of Gertz of La Junta, maybe.
Could, you could move 50 miles to the east, 50 miles to the south.
50 miles, no.
Oh, why my not? Goodness.
Okay. It's an hour drive.
No.
It's the same community.
It's not far enough
out. It's going to be in Pueblo, probably.
Yeah?
We are 70% more expensive than Pueblo.
70%?
Yes. That's insane.
And Denver is 40% more expensive than Colorado Springs.
70%?
Yes.
That's why we're seeing so many people move south.
That
now.
Is crazy.
Yeah. Denver, Boulder, we're all seeing them move down to Pueblo.
Well,
and
Boulder,
now Pueblo
Boulder was the start of this whole chain reaction,
Denver
I think.
Especially. Yeah. Well, like Monument, 70% of those new builds and housing there is for Denver commuters.
Yeah.
The stuff down like Castle Rock and all that there and south.
And Monument. And then the closer you get down, the cheaper it gets. and all the way to Pueblo. So
what about Trinidad? Trinidad's still okay? You can afford to live down there?
Yeah.
You have to commute from Trinidad?
Trinidad's going up too in price.
Is it?
Well,
that, and I think COVID has driven people
nationwide.
Where
yeah.
A lot of places rural you can towns. Work remote now.
Rural towns, yeah. Yeah. Actually, there's a movement afoot. I saw a TV expose the other day on the news that a lot of rural areas are growing, and they're actually catering to remote workers.
I love people, but if you're coming from big cities, just, you know, you guys like the city, stay there.
Yeah.
I like my ruralness. I want to keep it rural.
Right.
Because the more people that come here, it's now less and less rural every day.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Peyton is not as far out as it once was.
No.
No. No. You actually got to go out farther. What's after Ellicott? What's after
Peyton? Callahan.
Callahan.
Yeah, Callahan. And then I don't know what's after that, but I bet you even Callahan.
Well, it's kind of like what I call Denver. I'm going to get hate mail for this one, but pretty much from the north side of Castle Rock to Fort Collins is Denver to me. It's one big city. Right. There's no, where I grew up, you had to have like 30 miles in between a building before you can call it a new city.
Yeah.
Right? Now it's just like, that's Denver. How do you know that?
Right.
Unless you have a Google map up with exact lines of where, what is what, how do you know?
Yeah, just blended.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, so.
The only thing saving us is the Greenland open space. Otherwise, it'd probably be all the way down here.
Yeah.
And they did that on purpose. They wanted to leave some space, green space between the cities. They didn't want to just a big, huge.
What happened to Denver, to Boulder, to Fort Collins?
That's why they did that, because all that happened.
So, yeah.
All the way from Cheyenne,
For some people, it's a draw, right?
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand it myself, because some people are like, wow, there's so much more to do in Denver. And I'm like, oh, okay, so you go out every night? Well, no.
Yeah.
Like maybe once a month. Well, you could commute to there for
once a month.
For the price that you're saving, you could you could go a lot.
That's what Peggy does.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool. And of course, I had some buddies that were like 35, and I'm like, so what do you, why is the nightlife so much better? I'm like, nightlife, you're going to the, please tell me at 35 years old, you're not going to the clubs.
What?
That, you're the old creepy guy. It's 35 years old going to clubs at that point. Like 20s is clubbing, okay?
Wait, clubs now here, clubs I think now have changed too. It's more like distilleries and micro brew pubs.
No, there's still dance
restaurants.
Yeah. The beer snobs.
Yes.
Well, if Ron's paying $12 per 12-ounce can of beer.
That's fine. Just don't get mad if someone's paying $5 for their coffee.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to bring that up. Yeah. That.
Very much so.
Mr.
Hey. I don't pay that for coffee. Espresso, maybe. Okay. Not coffee.
We're not going to go there, Nate.
Okay.
All right.
Let's talk real estate.
Yeah, Peggy. So tell us what's going on. What's happening? Besides 70%, I'm still a little bit flabbergasted.
Over Pueblo, yeah. We have too many buyers. So the supply and demand obviously is unbalanced.
Right.
And the interest rate is still low. So everyone, and it's been projected they're going to go up, which they should.
So where are we at for interest rate right now?
I am
like 3.
Around 3.5, maybe inching up to 4.
Is that the lowest it's been or?
No, the lowest I think was 2.5.
So I missed it is what you're saying.
No.
Because I've been thinking about refinancing because I'm at like 3.25 or something like that. So.
Okay. Well, you just have to talk to a lender.
Or I'll just wait.
She can help you with that.
And they can tell you that. And I do have a person.
You've got people.
Who will give you a deal because of me.
That's right. That's why she's on the show. So, that's one of the, we're going to talk to her about that later in the show about why she's really here.
Yes.
Because we have some exciting news to our listeners.
Ooh, small 2.0.
That's right.
Yeah.
3.0.
Peggy's going to help you, help us help you.
That's right. So,
So back to the market.
So we have all these people trying to buy a house because they can now afford more than they could because the interest rate is low, right? So now instead of being able to afford 350, I can afford 400 because of the interest rate. As soon as that interest rate starts going back up, it's going to pull what I can afford down.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You sure?
All right. And then we've got more millennials than we have boomers. Mm-hmm. Who are, you know, in their mid-30s wanting to buy a house.
Buy their first house in their 30s.
31 years old. Or some of them are buying them when they're younger. I built my first house at 23, so it's not an uncommon thing. And then
I'm not going to ask where, though, not here.
No.
Exactly.
Well, this was back in 2000, so...
That was last year? 22
years ago, yes.
23 last year. Congratulations. Happy birthday.
You. Yeah, thank you.
You just now told me how old you are. So.
You're welcome.
I was trying to help you.
It's only fine.
I was trying to help
it's
you.
It's just a number.
You know, we have a friend who won't even admit his age.
I don't know how old he is.
Oh, yeah. He tells everyone he's 32, and I'm like.
He acts it, too.
30 years ago, maybe.
I love you.
Yes, we do love you.
We all know who we're talking about. Doug, I hope you're listening.
Oh, you called him out. Don't protect,
she didn't use the last name.
Don't protect anyone's privacy. But, and then the boomers, they're kind of staying in place because, you know, the house is either paid off or they know exactly what their mortgage payment is. So, and they're in good shape.
Well, and right now you can't, I'd like to sell, but I don't want to sell because I don't want to buy.
Yeah, that's the problem.
True. So
that's my problem, right?
Well, it depends on where you want to buy. If you want to sell here, move to Pueblo, you can probably pay cash for your next house.
But right? I don't want to do that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So if you're like selling your house in Colorado and you're moving down to Alabama,
yeah,
Texas, Oklahoma.
Yeah. Alabama's been booming too, though. But
they're still, their overall house price is less way than less. Ours. Yeah, so you're less. Still.
And cost of living.
Right. But I mean, to buy and sell right now, are you, if you're upsizing, yeah, that might not be the best time. Who knows?
Right.
Yeah. But the economists aren't projecting a bubble of a housing crash.
Right.
Because of the, we have had a housing shortage since the last crash.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think a lot
affordable
of
affordable housing.
Also, what's driving the price though is not being able to get materials.
Right? I haven't seen that either. But one thing I've noticed is like I was hearing somewhere recently that the average home now too, like in the Springs, that they're building is like $500 to $700 too. It's not, they don't even build. Like,
which is insane.
House. No,
the first time I ever saw that
because
sign.
Because they're selling them.
Houses starting in the low 380s. I'm like, what? That's not a starting home.
Because they're able to sell them.
I don't know a single person in their 20s that could afford $380,000. That the payment's like $4,000 a month for something like that.
No.
If you have zero down and you want to buy a house, it's a lot of money.
Okay, so roughly $500,000 at the interest rates today.
She's
are
schooling us.
Probably 2500 roughly, maybe 26. And that's not even putting any money down.
That's pretty good.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, that's roughly.
That's still a massive.
I'm not a lender.
That's a massive payment, though.
And I try to stay in my lane, but that's about where you're at. Now, in 2014, if you had bought a $500,000 house, that loan is going to be more because the interest rate is higher.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So where are all the people coming from too? I know the interest rates are low, but is it really a big, it appears to me as I'm driving up and down the corridor, all the Ferner license plates, right? Are a lot of Californians like moving out here? Are there a lot of Texans, Californians?
I mean, it's beautiful. It actually similar to California, especially in the Big Bear mountains, right? Snowing.
Right.
And we're cheaper. Why wouldn't they come here? And then we've got a lot of Texans.
Yeah.
A lot of people from Florida, you know, that want to have like live half time, be snowbirds. So
really a lot from Florida.
Mm-hmm. But mostly Californian and Texas is what it seems like to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And then you got the military moving in and out because they're what, number two or three employer in Colorado Springs?
I thought they were actually number one.
No, healthcare is number one. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're probably number two, but that's a big portion of it. Right. Of course, and I don't know how big the market, once again, as a one stripe or something like that. I don't know. Can you afford a $400,000 house?
Like a private in the army or something? No.
So I don't think they're the market.
They're renting. Yeah, they're
so renting. What's going to happen is, you know, the further out places are going to get filled up.
Yeah.
So just like everyone in Denver started out in the center and those suburbs grew, right? Because that's where everyone could find affordable housing. Hmm. So Fountain, Peyton, Security.
Yeah. Mm. Have been growing.
Probably Pueblo.
Pueblo's growing massive. I believe the last time I checked, Pueblo is one of the fastest growing communities of all of Colorado right now.
Yeah.
Because of that. Mm-hmm. Because they can't afford to live in Denver and it's not just affording to live, right? Because if you're up in Denver and Boulder, your salaries were pretty decent, but the problem was that nobody wanted to live anymore because it took you an hour to go, you know, 2 miles to your job. So the traffic was horrendous. Amazon's having massive issues right now. They can't get product in and out of DIA, for example. They're considering putting, you know, a rail system in just to be able to get the products. They can't get trucks in and out.
I would love that.
So that's...
You would love to have a rail in?
I would think we should have a train from Denver to Pueblo.
We've talked about it.
What the rumor mill has it, talking from Cheyenne to Pueblo, the two biggest ports for rail is, and then to go through DIA. So when Bezos drops all of his planes off with all of the Amazon stuff to get it out to the rail to get it to each coast, They're going to put a light loop or a light.
Hyperloop.
Hyperlooping.
Okay.
They're already starting to do that.
So they're working that project right now.
Yeah.
So I hear.
Yeah.
But anyway, real estate.
Squirrel.
Yeah. That's how that's we roll.
That's us.
You don't like it?
Yeah.
You have to stay through this whole thing. So
to get to the meaty stuff. <That's right. laughs> Okay. To understand real estate when we get there finally.
So how can you help?
So you kind of have to be a little more creative in this market, which is, you know, I started after the crash, so I've never seen anything like this. And I honestly hate it because my buyers are, we're having to come up with other plans. So one of the things I was doing last year was new builds because there's no up bidding.
Right.
You just, the builder's like, here's what it costs to build this house. It'll be ready in 6 to 9 months or whatever. Okay. And until recently, when you closed, you had built in equity of at least $40,000-$50,000.
Wow.
And now they, because of the thing they had with the shortage of lumber, they had to pay more. Yeah. So now it's always been there in the new build contracts that they can change it if they need to. And in the past couple months, we're getting new builds that if you were under contract, say last July, they're changing it to reflect more market value. You're still getting a good deal. You're still going to have some equity, but it won't be that big, massive thing. They're closing that.
Okay.
So, but at least you're not having to fight by overpaying for a house.
Yeah.
Above market price because there's 10 other
it's the price.
Bids,
you
right?
You just have to fight now with making sure that they don't cut corners.
Right. You would want to pick a reputable builder, right? Yeah. That's been in Colorado Springs for
something
40
else.
Years.
I have never built my own, but I've ran a lot of projects as GC. Uh-huh. So one of the general contractor for those people who don't understand. one things I would recommend is always, if you're going to build a house, please, please, please put in the contract that if they're not done by your date, they owe you X amount of dollars because now you're out.
No.
You could be living in a hotel at $400 a night. And
they're not going to do that.
If reputable ones will. Because if they're going to say they're going to be done by this day.
They're not.
Really?
They won't. No.
That's just wrong.
No, it's because we have snow. We have hail season.
And that's why you put in, you know, 4 or 5 days.
And they want to close as soon as possible because they're paying interest on every day that house isn't done.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So they want to close.
I've seen probably out of the last 10 people I know that built their houses, probably not even one made it on time. All the rest were like 3 months after. Mm. It was crazy. I'm like, so now you're displaced. You have to pay for a place to put all your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You have to pay for a hotel room for your whole family, whatever.
Yeah,
it's just crazy. I don't know.
Well, you should probably be a little realistic. And I think the builders are, for the most part, very realistic in their time frame.
Okay.
So you don't do commercial, but I wanted to talk a little bit about that. I'm sure you know about commercial.
Yes.
So what's the market looking like? I mean, if I drive around, it seems like since everybody's gone remote and people are like companies are, is it a pretty...
Right.
Open market right now for real estate. If you're a government contractor and you want to find a facility,
you should be able to. There's probably a few more openings, I would think, just because some companies are downsizing their office because not as many people want to come in, and they've after COVID figured out, oh, we don't need this every day.
Right.
So I do have a partner in my office that is the expert on that, but I definitely see more people working from home. But we already saw that even before COVID, that new builds were getting rid of formal dining rooms and having an office and home office because people were wanting to do that anyways, more part-time.
Right.
And now I think that's just going to even...
Wait, you said they're getting
further.
Rid of that in their houses?
So used to, a formal dining room. Used to when, you know, we were looking for houses in our 30s. We wanted that formal dining room, the nook area.
Yeah,
right.
And we didn't really think about an office maybe as much, but now that's high priority. that.
And I never understood the dining room.
Really?
Yeah.
From what I see is people are trying to find that van so as their priority so they can work down by the river or something. I don't know.
Peggy and I had that discussion as well.
Don't get me started on that, please.
Bali, that's where they're going.
You know, I follow the van life. I really do on Instagram. However, if you follow the real van life, it's not as glamorous as the Instagram makes it look.
You know, I think that's definitely for an age demographic.
Yes,
that,
I couldn't imagine living out of a van with my dogs and three children and my wife. Yet. No. Probably not happen. Somebody's coming out dead.
And I'm single and I wouldn't do that. So, you know, I'd be like, no.
But you could have some awesome Instagram photos that
that's right.
three people look at.
Yeah, not.
Yeah, showering outside. Woohoo.
Yeah.
Yeah, good story there.
Oh, yeah.
Breezy.
Using the outhouse wherever you can find it.
Oh gosh.
Sounds like fun.
Tiny homes were on the blip there for a second, but I think the hurdle for that was, is where do we put the house?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know? Cause a lot of places won't.
Cause then you need land.
Yes.
And even if you buy land, like in city limits, they won't let you put a tiny home on that.
Yeah.
They were changing some laws. Yeah. I have a friend who wanted to put a tiny home farm out in Peyton actually.
Yeah.
Yep. And you just put all the lots down, all the plugins, all the hookups, and you just bring your tiny home. But it's not really, what do they call those? Trailer park.
I mean,
really.
Yeah. It's the cooler trailer park. Right.
Yes. Do you need to take a break?
Yeah, we're going to take a break.
All right.
I just don't think that it's cool if some of your drunk buddies could, middle of the night, just like five of them
lift your house
pick
up.
Your house up and move it to, while you're sleeping. It's just, there's nothing cool about that for me.
They also, speaking of plumbing, they also don't have really a lot of plumbing.
At that point, I would rather buy an RV and just live out of the RV.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, with that, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Okay.
This podcast is brought to you by CHAFA, the Colorado Housing and Finance Authority. Since 1974, CHAFA has strengthened Colorado by investing in community development and affordable housing. CHAFA's community development team partners with lenders across the state to offer the financing you need to grow your business. Talk to your local lender about CHAFA's Cash Collateral Support Program, which helps small and medium-sized businesses access capital that would otherwise be unavailable due to collateral shortfalls. To learn more, visit chfainfo.com. Welcome back to this week's Smallest Cast Podcast. I'm your host, Just Nate, and this week we have Peggy Ulmer from Keller Williams Partners here.
Oh, welcome you said back. It right this time.
Did I say it wrong the first time?
You did, but I didn't want to be rude and
what I said. What?
He said Kelly.
Did he?
He did.
What is it?
Keller.
I said Kelly.
Yeah, the first time.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Mr. Keller, Mrs. Keller. I don't know what you are.
So funny enough, that's his shtick. Yeah. Like, he gets every single time almost when he introduces somebody, he screws up their name.
Well, at least he said my name right.
That's right.
Not just the company.
Big kudos for that, right?
I don't do it on purpose, I promise.
It's
not a thing.
Yeah. I think you do.
It's all good.
Why do you keep staring at the computer? Stop doing that. That's weird.
Because I don't know. I look at the camera.
You know what you remind me right now? Talladega Nights. Like, stop. Put your hands. What? That's why he has to hold that thing. He's always like,
Well, no, because I'm trying to sit in the middle. I told you this last time. We're getting a round table.
Yes.
Yeah, well, you keep saying that.
Knights of the Round Table.
That's correct. We need a round table.
Okay, this is focus, young grasshopper.
Okay.
We're after, all right. after
Take
the break.
Take the pebble from my hand.
You have a question you normally ask.
What do you want to ask? What do you want to ask? What do you want to ask?
Well, normally I ask about tools and stuff. Well, how'd you get here? How'd you get to doing real estate? Because that's like not everybody does that.
Yeah. So I actually didn't get into it to sell it for myself. I got in it to buy and sell my own houses. But reason why is because the realtor that I have been exposed to before this was very much trying to sell me any house. Like, I told them what I'm looking for, and then they're sending me a list of things I'm not looking for. And I'm just like, what the heck? And then they're trying to, okay, I said 300 and they're like sending me 350. And I'm like, dude, I can't, like, I'm going to love those. Yes. But I don't want to be house poor. Right. Like,
right.
So that's why I became a realtor, is for my own self. And then, you know, friends or neighbors found out I was a realtor and thought, well, let's use you. I mean, even though I was new, it was awesome.
That's pretty cool.
And then
hopefully
one of
have a lot of friends.
Right? And then I sold 10 houses in 3 months when I first started. Wow. Yeah.
That was a nice payday.
Because everyone trusted me. Like,
Silly people.
And so I have kept that as my foundation in my business, is to always be honest and always think of their needs before mine.
Right.
So you mentioned something that when you were doing that, real estate agent would for you give the example of 300 and then they come up with like 350.
Yeah.
I had the same thing happen to me. And this is a few years ago, the last time I bought a house, they always told me, go get your financing first. So you know what you can
absolutely
look at.
Yes.
Because otherwise that will happen, right? They're like, well, hey, I can't afford more than $1,200.
You mean figure out what you can afford?
Well, here's a 7,000 square foot house for $700,000.
So I can afford more than what I'm willing to pay.
Exactly.
So it doesn't matter if you qualify for 700,000 or three, I only want to pay three.
Exactly.
So that's why I have them talk to the lender first. We don't set up a housing search until then.
Okay.
And then they tell me, okay, here's where they said our monthly payment look like for this price range. That's what we want.
Okay.
So then that's when I set it up.
Yeah, because that can be
And I tell them, if you decide to change that, let me know. Because every now and then they'll go on Zillow and be like, oh, this house was so nice. And it's more than what we've decided on. And so they call me and they're like, hey, can you up it? And that's fine.
Sure.
Right.
But I don't want me doing it.
You don't want to start there either.
Right.
Right.
Well, because you also don't want to get some newlywed couple into a house that they really can't afford.
Right.
Even though in paper it looks like, oh, yeah, you're qualified for this. Yeah. But now try to pay that $3,000 a month.
And I'm assuming you guys also talk to them about like homeowners insurance and all the other pieces to it too, right?
Yep. And if there's an HOA and your taxes.
Or as an example, right? So you mentioned that we're 70% higher up here for housing.
Yes.
That is true. But we're probably 70% or more higher on utilities down there.
Oh, really?
So as an example, my average electricity bill by itself, because Colorado Springs is very unique, right? Colorado Springs is, what is it called?
Yeah, Colorado Springs.
You can't use you as an example of people in Pueblo. You probably have
your
own.
Are you in Pueblo?
Pueblo West.
Oh, sorry. There is a difference.
I love Pueblo West.
But
you probably have a need for your own power plant at your house. I'm just saying.
Yeah, so.
I'm just saying.
The point being, everything's utilities in Colorado Springs is city-owned utilities.
Yeah.
Where it's competition down there. Yep. So, for example, my monthly electric bill is $230 a month for electric. And then another $200 a month for
sewage.
Well, for water. In the summer or whatever. My point being is that I pretty much, in the summertime, depending on the month, I could have essentially a whole nother house payment just in utilities compared to what people here.
So
you guys
the
pay, what,
utilities,
$30 a month for all utilities or whatever?
Well, it used to be until like what, November?
Yeah.
Oh, now
it went up now?
I can't even.
No. Utilities are really cheap in Colorado Springs.
At least
look her
doubled.
Up. So it's like $60 a month now.
Oh, no. It's higher.
Is it?
Like,
we've never paid
$60. I think I was paying 200 tops. Maybe before November, and now it's like 400, 450.
Yeah.
Welcome to the club now. So
I'm
now
like,
it does make sense to live down by me, huh?
Holy cow, yeah.
So if you're going to pay the same amount of utilities.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, but the timing of when you sell your house, just to change subject, matters. So, like right now, we have seasonality of when people buy houses. Okay. So ever since January has happened, it's starting to climb. And it will keep doing that until probably May or June before it kind of like,
dips in the summer.
Right. And then no one wants to move over Christmas and the holidays typically, unless they really got to move. So I had a seller that I had sold the house to in October, and they wanted to sell their house. And I said, is there any way you can wait till January or February? And she said, we could. And the reason why I suggest it, and not that you have to, but your house will be worth more if you wait till then.
Even in today's market?
Yes. So at that time, I priced her house at $540,000. And I said, it's at least $25,000 difference in a normal market. We got it under contract for $600,000. Now,
is this like a 6,000 square foot house or?
No.
With 3 acres or something?
It's probably 1,800 square feet.
It is a great house.
On a corner lot.
Probably like 3,700 square feet.
So not small.
Yes. And it's on a great lot. No. And so it's beautiful. Like move in, turnkey ready, hardly any carpet, beautiful house.
Nice.
But my point is that most agents would have taken that listing in October
just
and just said,
you wanted to.
Okay, I'll sell your house.
Yeah.
And so that's how I do it, is I try to help you know when the best time is. Maybe they couldn't wait, but at least you knew.
And yeah, at least you explain that to them, right?
Right.
Well, that's cool.
And so that's really important. So if I have a buyer, I'm like, can you wait? Like if they call me in June, I'm like, can you wait just a couple more months? Because it truly makes a difference on timing.
Find an apartment where you can go month to month or something like that till then if you need to or whatever.
Yeah. Or, and you know.
Getting harder and harder in Colorado to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of another weird thing.
For sure. That. Yeah. So, you know, and then you've got the new builds. They're now, like I said, everyone's kind of figured out that pocket. So we're losing new builds that are available. And then when you do put in an offer and there's, you know, like I said, 10, 15 other offers, people are paying cash. Well, not everybody has cash. So now there are third-party companies that will buy the house for you in cash. And then when you close, you pay a fee and then get the loan and buy it back from them.
Isn't that called like a loan shark? I mean, that's like the definition of loan shark.
Oh, my gosh.
It's legal. It's legal.
Yes. So there's a couple third-party companies that are doing this now.
We heard that. I don't know if we want to talk about this here. We heard a lot of marijuana companies are doing that because they have a lot of cash. And so they can't put it in the banks. So they're going in, they're big into real estate. So they're going out and buying real estate. And then they either turn it, sell it, then they can get money legally and put it back in the bank.
Didn't they pass the thing where they decriminalized it so they could get lending now?
At the state level, not federal level.
Not the federal? Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's just like anybody in the DOD realm, you can't do anything, have anything to do with pot or CBD or anything.
Yeah.
So. It's still federally illegal. So
not just use it, be involved with it. Like you can't be part owner.
Can't invest in it or anything.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Okay. So I wanted to get back to what you can offer to all of our small businesses that are part of the smalls.
All right. Well,
here we go.
Here it is.
Here it is. Ready? 3, 2, 1, go.
So if a company wants to work with me as the realtor for their employees that moved to Colorado, we're going to basically help their buyer or seller with some of those costs. So if it's a buyer, for example, I have a lender partner that I use anyways as the normal lender that I like. But for this particular thing only, he's willing to basically give up some of his paycheck to the buyer to help either closing costs or lower the interest points, and that's only because I'm awesome.
There you go.
It pays go. To be a member of the smalls.
That's right.
So
that's right.
Yeah.
Literally.
It pays big literally. To be a member of the smalls.
And then for the people who are selling their houses, if that is needed, basically they're going to get me as one of the top agents for a cheaper price, which I normally don't cut my commission because I'm.
Did you live off that?
I'm a firm believer you get what you pay for.
Normally it's 22%, but she's going to knock that down for you guys just today.
Right?
Call within
today
24 hours.
To 20.
Or 4 easy payments of 4% each and you're good.
Right? And here's why. Like you look at my reviews even before the market got stupid. I've had sellers, they're like, there's no way you can get this price. And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, well, the other agent said this. And I'm like, yeah. And then afterwards, they're like, holy cow. It's because I know how to negotiate and market. I have a whole marketing team. All goes out on social media. That's more than just putting it in the MLS.
Dennis, she said she has a marketing team.
Yeah, and she has social media. Maybe we need to talk to her about all this stuff, too, for
like
the smalls.
That's okay. One of our 2022 goals is marketing.
Got good people. So, and they know, you know, the things I don't know. So, and that's why they make me look good. So then when we get the offers in and I know how to price it, like if you ever see a house that's priced $599,999,
right?
Please.
Don't buy it.
Please question the agent of why they did that.
Yeah.
They're because playing the same old Sears thing, right?
If you, okay. Yeah. But where do searches start when you're looking for a house? Where are you going when you look for a house?
Like Zillow?
Yeah. Are you putting in there, I'm looking for 500 to 599999?
No.
No. You're putting 5 to 550, 6 to 650.
Right.
So you just missed a whole side of buyers when you could have done 550 to six, you know, 575 right. to 625.
Normal binning.
To be honest with yes. you, every now and then, if I get bored, I'll just go in and say zero yeah. to like 30 million to see what's out there. I found one. It's beautiful yeah. up in Denver area, like 199999.
Right? Yeah.
Because, you know, anybody that puts above that. Your mark is pretty low for that.
Why not just put 601?
So, yeah, so you also have a background in dealing with military folks too, right? That's
yes.
kind of your forte.
Right. So that's how I started is I was a military spouse and we moved every 3 years. Mm-hmm. So if you were buying a house and you know you're only going to be there 3 years, it was really important you didn't overpay for a house, mm-hmm. right? Because then yeah. you couldn't sell it if you wanted to when you moved.
Right.
Sell it just at a loss.
Right. Right. So that really was my job and making sure that, okay, based on what's happening, how long you're going to be here. Look, we're not picking your forever home. This is an investment for hopefully you make some money in 3 years. You didn't have to live on base. The military paid for it. So, you know, the equity.
Right.
But what it made me realize is I became a relocation expert.
Right.
Because that's what we do, right?
Yeah.
It's like, hey, I got to move all the way to another city. How can I make that transition as smooth as possible?
That's where I was getting to. I was leading yeah. you there. So that was other offer that you said you'd help us with, right?
Yes.
That you would work with our smalls members in developing a relo packet.
Yes.
That you could help them with.
Right. So I do have relo packets. So usually the first time I ever talk to someone is either a video chat or email or whatever platform they have, if they're in Germany or whatever. And then I email them this like 20-page everything you need to know about buying a house in that's very specific to Colorado Springs.
Okay. Right.
Here's how that process works. Here's who you're going to call for the lender to compare. Here's who you're going to call for a home inspection and the steps that we have to get there.
Right. So you're willing to work with our smalls members.
Yes.
And if they're looking for a relo packet for their company.
Right.
That you're willing to help them do that.
Yes. And the company that refers me to their employee is going to get, you know.
Some bennies too.
Some bennies.
Yeah.
And they can choose what they do with that.
Right. All right.
Nice.
So good stuff all around, right?
So you're saying those companies could even, say, donate to a nonprofit.
Right. You can do that.
That's awesome.
You can give it to the employee for their moving expenses.
Yep. So
we're all kind of a partnership here, that's right, helping each other.
Yep. So win-win-win.
What about, have you ever been part of where a company relocates somebody? And it doesn't happen in too many markets, but I know like it happens sometimes in, oil and gas industry a lot where if Dennis here works for me, I'm big oil and gas company. I'm like, hey, I need you in Texas now.
Right.
Just move. We'll take care of your house. Have you dealt with that? You've been okay.
So we have corporate movers here and we also have Canadians.
Okay.
Not Canadians.
Oh yeah.
Canadians are invading. Is that what you're saying?
No, but you know, they have employers that are paying for their
move. There's Canadian companies and military.
Like
here.
With Canadians, it has to be a very specific size house, square footage wise. I have no idea why, but
for Canadians, 10,000 square foot per person. Hello.
There's a lot of paperwork that has to get done.
But they're also cash cows because they're a company, right? They're
And sometimes it's, I need a rental for a couple months before I get there, you know, so I can learn the area. And I have to give them a city tour and look, all right, here's where you're probably going to want to be if you're talking about 20-minute commute and blah, blah, blah.
What kind of vehicle do you drive then?
Oh, stop.
I told you Ferrari out front.
Well, no, she's got to have like a 13-passenger van or something.
She
like
does. No, no,
it's a schoolie. She drives a schoolie.
A short bus or is it a long
stop
one?
It.
It's a long one.
I just got an electric vehicle because I didn't want to pay for gas.
Uh-oh.
I knew it was going to be
going
up.
Did you help out Elon? Are you helping Elon?
Stop it. Listen, I know my car does not reflect who I am, but it's fun to drive.
She was just saying that her electrical bill went up twice, right?
So I'm just plugging in her car. To be fair and honest, I drive a hybrid as well.
Oh my gosh, I'm leaving.
Now, hold on. The difference is that I'm a firm believer. Did I say I love the city?
I ride a bike.
I could never live there.
I love the city. I'm rarely going into the country.
Okay, well, I could.
Except to show houses.
You're not going too far right now because you might run out of juice.
No, there are chargers everywhere.
Are there now?
Yes.
Are there?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
I believe her.
Oh, they're in the Walmart parking lot over off Powers even. There's chargers everywhere.
Yeah.
What about Fowler?
We don't have any here in our building, which has been a complaint. From our guys here.
Right, it's right down the street in Colorado Springs downtown. There's a supercharger there and a parking garage. I mean, they're all
there
over.
There you go.
But then, okay. Right. Anyways, I would just say I'm a firm believer driving through big cities that the more people that if you pay more than six figures for your vehicle, you get less.
You don't get blinkers anymore. Okay, the affordable one.
You buy a Tesla.
I drive a Chevy Volt. I love my Volt. I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Back to real estate. Oh my gosh. So let's recap real fast what she told our guests.
I have a question about real estate before we recap.
All right.
Okay.
Where can you help people though?
Location wise? Yeah. So, I was going to ask that too.
So I actually go several other places besides just Colorado Springs. Okay. You know, I have actually been to Salida.
What?
I know.
It's nice. I like Salida.
Right. And Cannon City and Florissant. And I haven't been to Pueblo, but you know, I can do that. But Castle Rock, Larkspur, Peyton.
So the surrounding.
So
anywhere that's within an hour of Colorado Springs.
Is it a county thing where your license is only good for a certain county? Or?
Well, so I'm in El Paso County, and that is PPAR. But we also have access to Denver's MLS.
Okay.
And if you, live in Monument and you're selling your house, you want to put it in PPAR in Denver. And I have seen listings in Colorado Springs where it's a house in Colorado Springs and it's a Denver agent and it's only in the Denver MLS. And I am over here cheering with the buyer because I'm like, not as many people know about this house because they didn't.
But the seller, it's horrible for the seller.
Yeah.
Maybe not now because the housing market, but in normal times.
Still. The difference would be, instead of getting, 15 offers, you're getting 5.
So, okay.
So.
Now, I'm curious. I had a buddy that had an agent, but also he paid to have his stuff posted on, Zillow. He had to do all that. He paid to have everything posted on Zillow and everything like that.
His
real estate agent didn't have marketing. She's like, I'm going to put it just on my company's website.
Who puts that on Zillow, by the way? I was wondering, because,
Zillow, Realtor.com, all those other sites, those are third-party websites. They do get filtered from the MLS to those sites on their own. It can take 2 or 3 days.
Okay.
And then you don't have to do anything.
Right.
But can you, if you, let's say I'm trying to sell my
house. Because everybody's
house
is on there pretty much.
Is that how it happens then? Is that how?
If you're trying to sell it on your own, then you would have to do it. And I don't think you even have to pay to put it on.
It's on there now.
So.
They're all on there.
But here's the thing. Yeah, sure. If you're searching on Zillow and this happens, people are like, ooh, that found the house. That house was sold 6 months ago.
Yeah.
They have no desire to take it off and have it be accurate information because all those agents listed on there are paying for leads of people that are at this website.
So you call this person up and they're like, that one's not available right now, but let me show you what is
so
available.
So it's a switch thing of I don't
it's
like that.
It's kind of doggy dog in your world somewhat.
So just get a realtor and
meet
you
them.
Will know exactly the second that it comes on the market.
Right.
Because you're getting an email or a text and it says, right now, this house was just listed. Let's go see it. And then I am going to note, I have extra certifications.
So your notaries are
I didn't just become a realtor and be like, all right, that's cool. I'm good. I went and got some more education and actually have a master's certification negotiation expert title.
Nice.
And only 1% of realtors in all of the United States even have that.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you're an expert in negotiations.
Yes. And that's
waterboarding
how.
Waterboarding.
Right?
You will buy the house.
Oh, yes. They're like, will you take this price? And I'm like, I don't know. Will I?
Look into the light, hypnosis, right? Okay.
So it's all funny. About asking questions, though.
Yeah.
Like I had a listing, and this was a couple years ago. Buyer sends over an offer. It's $8,000 less than the listed price. And my sellers are like, we'll take it. I'm like, okay. So I call the buyer and I'm like, hey, if we give you your closing date, will you come up to full price? And she's like,
yeah.
I'm like, sweet.
I enjoy it.
Done.
I've only bought 2 houses, but I've enjoyed while doing it. I like that go back and forth.
Yeah.
But I thought it was weird. I was always the type, the first house I bought, I wanted a, I don't know what it's called, when the bank owns it, the bank owned, right? Because I wanted to rebuild it myself, whatever. And my real estate agent, like, didn't want to show me any of those. I'm like, but that's what I want. I'm asking you for that.
Right.
Right? I get it. It's going to be dirty. I get it. When I look through it, it's going to be horrible.
Right. Well, and some people won't, like, some agents won't even put in an offer that's a lowball offer. And I will. Because you never know.
A bank.
You never know.
Little known secret, most banks, most banks don't want to hold on to property. Because now you've got utilities to pay, everything else. It's a pain in the butt.
Right.
But at the same time, my second house I bought, I did go to another, I had a house in mind I was trying to go after. And I'd found out that it had been listed for like something like 640 days.
Yeah.
And it was like one of those company owners where they moved the people out, but the company kept it.
Yeah.
So I went in with that's like a 10% less offer or something like that. Because I'm like, well, there's no way they want to keep this thing.
Right.
Nope. They came back with like, well, we'll tell you, we'll give you $3,000 off. Okay. I'm like,
okay.
$3,000 off $500,000 house? Thanks. Are we negotiating a car here? What are we negotiating on here? This is kind of weird. But anyway, so yes, I did not buy that house because I was just like frustrated. I'm like, I did two offers. And I'm like, no, they're coming down like $2,000 a time. I'm like, not doing this. So
let's recap real quick because we're running out of time here. Yep.
Okay.
So you will help the buyers and sellers.
Yes.
You're mostly a, what are you, what do you mostly do?
I would say I do both. Okay. I really,
Okay.
I mean, it just depends on what the needs are for that time. Like right now I'm dealing a lot more buyers.
Okay.
Can you represent both?
I can.
Not simultaneously.
I can.
Oh, you can?
Yeah,
yes. There is a way. It's called a transaction broker. So basically, before I go under contract, like if I'm listing someone's house, and if I bring you the buyer, I can no longer be your coach. I'm now the referee, and I can't give anyone advice.
Right.
But before that happens, you know, I'm telling them, here's the process of our selling. Here's what I'm hoping to get when we go under contract, blah, blah, blah. So you already know the whole game plan anyways. Yeah.
Now it's really, what you're doing is you're bringing them together. They hash it out.
Yes.
Okay.
And usually because I've already had the talk about what our expectations are in buying or selling, it works fine.
Okay. So you can do that. You'll help them with a lender who will also work with them and maybe help them a little bit more.
Oh, for sure. Like usual. They won't get that kind of deal with if they were on their own or going to anyone else.
And you're willing to help do relocation packets for companies and get them hooked up. And
yes, I already have that.
You will do all of that and help our listeners, the smalls.
And then the business, if they get a little Benny from it, and they can decide what they want to do with it.
Yep. So I like it. So that's why we have Peggy on today.
Okay, so how do they get a hold of you? The most important
part. Yes.
Okay. Yes. Well, you can go to my website, and it's militaryrealestategirl.com.
That works.
I've had that since the first year I started. And then you can call me or text me.
Okay.
719-220-4302. And my email is militarygirl@kw.com. I am on every social platform. So if you just Google my name, Peggy Ulmer, Colorado Springs, ULMER.
There she'll be.
You will find everything. Facebook, Snapchat. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
I'm not going to say what I was going to say.
Twitter.
Honestly, I have had to have. The reason why I have Snapchat is because I had a client in Germany and he was like, do you have WhatsApp? I'm like, what the heck is WhatsApp? And he's like, I have Snapchat. And I'm like, my daughter has Snapchat.
WhatsApp is kind of like the...
WhatsApp. Now I have Snapchat. I have it all now.
There you go.
You know, that's how that happened.
So much spam off WhatsApp.
So look you up on... They can Google you.
Yeah, they
find
can
it.
Google me and find me. But
military?
Real Estate Girl.
Okay, militaryrealestategirl.com. Mm-hmm. All right. So our listeners out there, you now have a realtor... and a broker.
And we will put her information, direct information on our website.
Yep.
It'll be in the show notes for this in both audio and the YouTube version.
Yes.
Right. And look up my reviews. I mean, I have different reviews that are on Zillow and Realtor.com. I don't know if I have any on Yelp, but
we haven't had a realtor yet, so you're it.
And my clients reuse me because I take care of them. So I don't do any marketing for new strange people. I'm here to like just, really be helpful.
Just strange people.
You know, like
not new ones.
I'm not on Zillow going, just give it to me. I know we just tricked him, but I want it. I'm not doing that.
Yeah. Well, you never get repeat business. So you'll get pretty bad reviews. So
yeah. So yeah.
Well, thank you for being on today. This was great. This was very good.
Appreciate it.
Sorry if we went all over the place.
I appreciate you having me.
We're a little crazy, but that's kind of why people
are listening.
Love or hate us. I don't know.
We haven't got a lot of hate mail yet.
Not yet.
It's because we give a fake email address.
That's true.
So you want to give us a fake email, send it to Decatur.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, no.
Decatur.
So, yeah. So thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you for the opportunity.
For people listening out there, producer Jen just relayed to me that, hey, our Patreon account is going to be up and running. So if you want to help support and us bringing more great content like this, and weirdness, you can do that in our Patreon right in the show notes below. So we'll have that up and running live for you to go check out.
Yeah. Thanks, producer Jen.
Oh, and I'm supposed to say something like hit that smash button on like and the thumbs up and subscribe to us on YouTube.
That's right. Yeah. Subscribe to us on YouTube. You got a YouTube channel?
I do. And I have TikTok too.
Oh my gosh.
And then my TikToks.
Do you produce content on that,
I
though?
Do, and it's kind of funny.
All right.
We'll check you out.
Yes, we'll check you out.
Okay. Well, with that, this is Just Nate signing off.
Thanks for listening.
You've reached the end of another episode of the Smalls Cast podcast. Connect with us at thesmalls.org. Don't forget to sign up to our newsletter to receive our free materials. See you at the next episode.
See you at the next episode.